I'm Marty Moscoe, and welcome to Radio Times. In a ruling last week, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court curtailed some of the powers used by the School Reform Commission that has been running the Philadelphia School District. This was as a result of the state takeover almost 15 years ago because of the district's financial problems and the number of students below grade level. The court said the SRC had to abide by Pennsylvania's school code and charter law in a case involving West Philadelphia Achievement Charter Elementary School that had wanted to expand. The SRC had said no, and the charter went to court. Interestingly, the decision came down as the SRC was deciding on the expansion of three charter schools. Well, today on Radio Times, we want to break down the ruling and discuss its implications. And we begin with Kevin McCrory, senior education reporter for WHYY's Newsworks, often joins us on Radio Times when we want to talk about Philadelphia schools. And Kevin, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Great to be here, Marty.
Let's go back to the beginning, to this West Philadelphia Achievement Elementary School, Charter Elementary School, wanting to expand. How did this case begin?
So a charter is typically given a five-year lease, essentially. And every 5 years, you have to re-up and go for another five. In this case, they were operating under a charter that allowed them to have 400 kids. They had signed that. But come 2000, so they signed that, I think, in 2001. Then they signed it in 2006. And then come 2011, they didn't want to sign it again. And what the issue was they wanted a new building. And to be able to afford the new building, they needed to have more kids, because the more kids you have, the more, quote unquote, tuition money you get from the district.
Right.
And that allows you to afford to pay your mortgage, essentially, right? And so from their point of view, the district knew that they wanted a new building. They came out. They saw and inspected it. They said, great, great, great. And in their mind, that signaled to them that they knew that they were taking on additional cost, and that meant that they were going to need additional kids. Well, the district then turned around and said, well, no, we didn't give you any more kids on your charter. You have to still abide by this 400 that you signed back in 2006. They didn't want to sign it, so they didn't sign their charter, and they grew to about 700 kids.
Well, in spite of this cap that had been imposed.
Right. And they said, you know, there's a need in this community, so we want to serve the kids who want to come to us, and also we've already signed this agreement for this building, so we just simply need these kids to make our math work.
So what was the Supreme – or what did the Supreme Court say then in its ruling? I guess say about the SRC.
Right. So, that's the individual school's case. But this case is well and far bigger than just this individual school, because what it gets back to is essentially when the state legislature wrote the law that created the SRC, it said you have the power to suspend – rules of, like you said, the charter law and the state school code, and it gave them that power very broadly. And what the court came back and said was the legislature doesn't have the authority to delegate that power that broadly, essentially. And that pertains to any time the SRC wants to suspend the school code or charter law. So it's far bigger than just this school. And that's why, you know, it could have implications not just for charter growth moving forward, but things, you know, as far as the unions go, as far as seniority in the district, as far as a number of things. Some digging was done this week by the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, our content partner. They basically went through the minutes for every SRC meeting in the past 5 years and found that the SRC has moved to suspend the charter law or the school code 62 times. At 26 different meetings on 44 different resolutions. So that's all over the place. It's not just charter schools. It's a lot of different things.
Is the court saying to the School Reform Commission, I guess to Philadelphia, is you have to act like a school district that we might find across the state?
Sure. They're saying you don't have any more authority than any other school board in the state. Yeah. And in fact, you could argue that the Philadelphia School Reform Commission has less authority than any other school district in the state because other school boards have taxing authority. So here in Philadelphia, there's never been a school board with taxing authority. And so now you have, in an attempt to give the district more power, the legislature imbued the SRC with these quote-unquote special powers or extraordinary powers, which now we've learned last week this court found were unconstitutional.
Does that send it back then to the legislature to recraft or redraw the act, I guess, it
right.
went
either,
into effect, what, 15 years ago?
Either redraw the act to delegate that power more specifically or, rewrite laws that would help Philadelphia specifically to deal with the problems that it's dealing with. So that's kind of where the advocacy community immediately pivoted. Like, hey, this isn't about the Supreme Court. This now puts the focus back on the state legislature. Write better laws, write laws that, you know, reflect what we've learned about the advent of charter schools in the state, write laws that, you know, reflect the you know, just what we've learned about education and the job market and everything else. And you can imagine that that's a pretty steep ask right now, because we've seen just the you know, the stark divide between the legislature and the governor over the budget battle. It's hard to imagine that there's going to be consensus around these issues, which tend to be just very contentious between, you know, certain interests, interest one and interest two. Let's put them that way. And, you know, the lobbying forces behind those that have a lot of power in Harrisburg.
I mean, it seems like, and we'll be talking about this later on in the show, but it seems like it does open the door even wider for charters in Philadelphia. Is that your reading?
Sure. So let's put it this way. Right now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 charters that do not have signed agreements. So they're operating, they're opening, they have kids, they're running classes without signed agreements. So if tomorrow they wanted to take in 100 kids, 200 kids, there's nothing to stop them. There's nothing in the law to stop them. And then there's another bunch of schools that are in the closure process. And by that nature, they don't also have an agreement. So again, they could take in more kids and without any unfettered, without any check on it, potentially. Now, whether they do that or not is up to them. And whether what the school district's recourse is for that is unclear. They certainly have much less leverage and power than they did a week ago.
What about some non-charter school-related issues? I'm thinking about some of the staffing decisions, for instance, that the SRC has made.
So the big one that people have talked about is in August 2013, huge, you know, fiscal crisis at the time, big shortfall on funding. The school district laid off every single guidance counselor in the city. And as September, October came in, they started recalling them, but they recalled them out of seniority order. So basically saying, you know, maybe we laid off, for instance, 3 counselors at South Philadelphia High School, hypothetical.
Sure.
You know, we only have the money to bring back one, and we don't want to just bring back the one with the most seniority. We want to bring back the one that the principal thinks is best for the kids in this building. That's what happened, essentially. And then now we're in a position where, with this ruling, it makes that action null and void, and you're in a situation where the union has the ability to say, we want to make sure that our staff is placed back in the buildings where they want to be and they belong. There was some immediate worry and anxiety that maybe this would happen immediately and this would cause uproar
moving
through classrooms
teachers around,
like right now, like in the next couple of weeks. The union president says that's not going to happen. They want to make sure that this isn't going to disrupt students or families. You know, they say that that's their main focus as well. But yeah, moving forward, potentially starting next year, there could be a lot of moving around and reshuffling. The other interesting thing is the SRC suspended the school code when it said that it wasn't going to pay for, you know, step increases and lane increases for teachers and other union workers. And it's to be, I think, argued and figured out whether or not that's going to happen. Is that all of a sudden going to put the district on the tab for this back pay, which you could argue, you know, these teachers should have been getting? Mm-hmm. But now is it what's that going to do to the district's budget, which is perpetually fighting to be kind of at neutral, if not in a deficit? And so that's a huge question, too, that I think is going to take a lot of negotiating between the district and the union, and there's going to be battles there.
And it should be said there, the teachers do not have a contract. They're not operating under a contract. And there is a vote, I guess, a vote within the union, what, tomorrow?
Well, we should say that they're operating under the terms of an
old agreement.
Expired in late August of 2013. So it's been a long time that they've been without a new contract. And that, yes, there's a internal union election that actually the ballots are beginning to be counted right now. And we'll find out today who prevails in that, which is a kind of a separate point.
But still part
interesting,
of it.
Yeah.
Interesting, indeed. You were at this meeting when this you were at an SRC meeting when this decision came down. Interestingly, the SRC was deciding on a couple of charters. Take us to that meeting.
So it was interesting that, this was a contentious meeting. They always are when high-stakes decisions are made. There were 12 applicants up for consideration. The SRC that night approved 3 with conditions. In the midst of the meeting, we found out that this ruling had come down, and I was sitting around some kind of high-level charter operator players, and they were the ones who kind of told me, hey, do you see what's happening here? Did you see what happened? And there was kind of a buzz in the room, and then all of a sudden the SRC took a break, convened, in the hallway or the room next door and said, does this affect what we're doing tonight? They determined that it didn't. I mean, interestingly, though, it kind of does because they approved charters and they asked for certain requirements and they asked for certain enrollment caps. If any of those charters want to push back on those, they have they have a lot more power to say, no, you know what? You want us to be at 275. We want to be at 500. And like, what are you going to do to stop us? You just approved our charter. Now, there's still a negotiation there and the district and the SRC have power, but it's still an interesting dynamic that is yet to be worked out.
You had an interesting piece in Newsweek sort of raising the question about whether the SRC is less or more powerful than other districts or even than what it was, I guess, before this ruling. And it looks like it has lost some of its authority.
Yeah. And we alluded to that when I was just talking about how it doesn't have to have the taxing authority. And now if it can't take these other steps that, let's just lay the road bare here. This was an attempt by the legislature to say, Philadelphia, you just need more executive authority to fix your own situation.
Right. And this goes back 15 years. Right.
And that's debatable whether or not that should have been done. And it's debatable whether the moves that they made fix the system or could have fixed them better. But that was the intention. So at this point, they're really handcuffed further. And maybe people say that they should be because they overreached. But we're in a situation now where the power of the SRC, the reason why they're there is kind of clouded. I mean, the difference is essentially instead of having 9 people who were elected, which is every other school board in the state, you have 5 people who were appointed, 3 by the governor, 2 by the mayor. You can debate whether or not the merits of that system. Maybe you could say, you just get better people on there when they're appointed. Maybe you can say, well, that's not democracy and we're not getting the people who represent us. So that's a robust debate to have. But then you just get to, the power of the body itself. Serious questions and certainly blunted by last week's decision.
And we're almost out of time here. I mean, does it raise questions, you think, Kevin, about the future of the SRC? Its fate?
I mean, there's been a growing conversation about that. Former Mayor Nutter came out right before the end of his term and said that we should dissolve the SRC. That was probably the most high-level person in elected office to say that. Governor Wolf has talked about wanting to end the SRC. I mean, SRC members themselves always say we're here to vote ourselves out of power once we fix the situation, right? This certainly contributes to that conversation, and maybe we see it moving in that direction. But again, so many things are up in the air right now that I couldn't put a definitive to it.
Well, Kevin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
And Kevin McCrory, senior education reporter for WHYY's Newsworks. And we have 3 guests hanging out the door. We're going to do a quick switcheroo after this very short break and then carry on our conversation. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. Let me just recap here. Last week, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court made a decision that appears to weaken the authority of the School Reform Commission, the state's governing body of the Philadelphia School District. The new rules could dramatically change the way decisions are made in terms of charter school growth, fiscal allocation, and other major district policies. Kevin McCrory, senior education reporter for WHYY's Newsworks, laid all that out for us. And now we have a trio of guests, and let me introduce each of them to you. Helen Gimm, City Councilwoman at Large. She chairs the Committee on Children and Youth, has been a longtime education advocate in Philadelphia. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Good morning. Also with us is Amy Ruck Kagan, and she's Executive Director of Philadelphia Charters for Excellence. Amy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And also with us is William Green, Bill Green, Commissioner, former Chair of the School Reform Commission, and he also served as a Philadelphia Councilman at Large. And Bill Green, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you.
How do you see the effect of this Supreme Court decision on the SRC where you work?
Well, it's not as bad as Kevin was describing. 696I has
begins, notwithstanding any other law to the contrary. 696(i)(3) was our power to suspend the school code. All other provisions of 696 are still available to us. That includes entering into contracts with people to run schools. It includes suspending professional employees for any reason, despite the school code, things like that. So a lot of the issues that people are talking about in terms of, you know, the doom and gloom in terms of the SRC's powers, we have many other powers that we didn't use in order to achieve the same ends, and now we have to look at the law differently and apply those powers instead of the power to suspend the school code, which was the easiest and most direct. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, does that limit, I mean, based on the school code, does that suspend any or change anything that the SRC has been doing over the last 15 years?
Well,
is anything different?
Sure. In other words, we have to go back and look at the actions that we took with respect to seniority, for example, and see if there's another way to do it through 696(i)(8), which allows us to suspend professional employees, notwithstanding the school code, and other things like that, so we can have people in schools that principals would prefer to have there because they're going to best serve children. It does not impact our contract cancellation right, which is in 693. Not 696, and other things like that. So I think we have many powers left. Our so-called superpowers are intact, except for one.
Let me turn to you, Helen Gim. How do you see this ruling?
Well, I think the main takeaway of this ruling is that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court appropriately ruled that the SRC does not have the powers that it thought that it had. And we need to quit playing games around this idea that the, quote, distressed schools label that was the whole reason for the SRC's creation in the first place 15 years ago. And the issue and the problems that we're dealing with around Philadelphia and in other school districts around the state is wholly created and perpetuated by Harrisburg and partially through the SRC. So we are the worst state in the nation when it comes to funding inequity between the poorest and the wealthiest school districts. We have a state legislator that has refused to enact a state funding formula that everyone from every corner of the state knows that we need to have. And we have a deeply flawed charter law that is going to bankrupt Philadelphia and many other school districts. And instead of dealing with those systemic underlying issues, Harrisburg created a wholly unelectable, unaccountable body, imbued it with unconstitutional, quote unquote, extraordinary powers, and said, here, you take care of it.
But does this Supreme Court ruling do anything about the concerns that you just raised?
I think it does. I mean, I think it helps the public and us refocus. And I think we need to have a clear focus. We need to go back and we need to end the SRC. I think that there is no point in its existence. I think it's been wholly unaccountable. It hasn't, despite all of its extraordinary powers, it hasn't improved equitable access to resources. It hasn't fundamentally stopped budget cuts. It hasn't stopped the massive expansion of charters. And in many cases, as we saw here with 62 examples, it has been a top-down reform body that has been wholly unaccountable and has quelled the democratic process. And we need to go back and deal with the things. It's time to end the SRC. It's time for a fair funding formula. And it's time to enact a real charter law that's going to enact these reforms. And I'm glad that our mayor, Jim Kenney, presented an amicus brief to support the fair funding lawsuit that is before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And all those things are going to signal a change in how we're looking at school governance and ultimately the future of the school district.
And I do want to get back to both of you. Amy, let me get you in on the conversation. How do you see this ruling and what do you think its effect will be on charter expansion in the city?
Great. And yeah, I like the opportunity. I agree with a lot of what has been said. And I think that there's a great opportunity for us here to actually go to Harrisburg and say, this is our time to legislate a law that is going to work for quality charters, which is the mission of Philadelphia Charters for Excellence. So we see this ruling as an opportunity for us to really focus on continued growth of quality charters, more seats, as demonstrated by the 70,000 students being served, the 20,000 families that are currently on charter school wait lists here in the city. Parents are voting with their feet in the city, and we want those parents to be able to have opportunities in our quality schools here. What we don't believe in is unfettered charter growth. I think Kevin used that word in what he said earlier. So we want to all be able to come to the table, look at the crisis that we are facing, and find a way to legislate policy that continues with more quality authorizing, equaling more quality seats for the kids.
And you see this decision as opening the door to that discussion?
I think if we can all come back to the table and fight for what we all believe in, and I think all three of us around the table do believe in great seats for kids, then I think there is this opportunity, yes.
Let me go back to you, Bill Green, and ask you about the effect of charter school expansion in the city. And there's certainly been talked about the stranded costs. And what is the position? I know that, you know, part of the SRC's responsibility is to open and close charters and other schools as well. Do you see charters as a benefit to the city and to the students who attend the schools here?
Well, one-third of our students attend charters, 67,000 out of 200,000 students. And there are many great charter operators that do a tremendous job. I would say that Philadelphia has some of the best CMOs in the country. We've got Mastery, KIPP, others. We've got, you know, great single schools like Russell Byers, et cetera. They're doing a great job with our children and, frankly, on average, doing better than our neighborhood public schools. Now, when you bring in magnet schools and special admit schools and other things like that, it's the district may be performing about equal. And this SRC, over the last few years, has attempted to close down over 4,000 charter seats in the pipeline of non-performing schools. We've been successful in closing three or four. I can't, you know, remember which ones, and we'll continue to do that. We want to shut down what does not work and expand what does work, and that's been our position. And until there is a contract with the PFT that allows us to work the way Dr. Height would want to in our public schools, the best option for children is going to be continued charter expansion with quality operators.
With quality operators. And just so our listeners know, when people talk about seats, they're talking about children sitting in those seats. Just so we
allegedly.
Allegedly. But there's so many directions we can go in. But Helen, picking up on both what Amy Ruck-Kagan and Bill Green have said about charters, how do you see, and this goes back 15 years, of course, when the state took over schools in Philadelphia, the idea was to create a laboratory, a place where we could figure out what's the best kind of education and then try to make that available to children. Has that experiment failed from your perspective?
No, but I think it's just ultimately an experiment. And what has happened is we've created two massive systems of education that are not remarkably different from one another in the worst funded state in the nation when it comes to funding equity. And those things are simply not sustainable with one another. I mean, quite frankly, the School Reform Commission's work over the last 15 years has brought us to a state of our schools that is absolutely appalling. Our everyday mediocrity was 10 times better than the stuff that we're seeing right now. We had a hearing last week in City Council where we heard that there were 175 teacher vacancies still in classrooms. That's 5,200 kids a day who show up willing and waiting to go to school and don't have a teacher in front of them. We are failing on our school code. We're not delivering nurses and counselors into schools. These are fundamental areas that the School Reform Commission should have been focused on and instead has been extremely distracted with something that was always going to be a fringe issue. It was never supposed to. Charters were to be a fringe. I mean, I've never heard of anything going to scale without a system. And so, you know, this mass expansion of charters, the fact that there are charter operators who are now the biggest operators of schools that just came up 5 years ago in a very recent time period. We just did an analysis on one particular charter operator that made it through the SRC vetting process with absolutely questionable results on how it intends to treat and handle special ed students. It has questionable budget projections. It's taking a $500,000 fee. I mean, these are not quality authorizers. And to the extent that, you know, Ms. Kagan wants to say that Philadelphia Charter Schools for Excellence wants to say that they want to be around quality authorizers, I don't hear that message coming from that camp. I don't see a fundamental attention to the flaws in the Pennsylvania state charter law that allows for unfettered charter expansion, for charters to appeal, and for lobbyists to be sitting at the table to talk about that.
I mean, is it time, do you think, to go back to the charter law and take a second look at it and fix some of the problems that have been described?
Oh, I would absolutely. It's an advocacy platform that we've been pushing for my organization for the last few years, myself in this role for the last year. I think it's a great opportunity to strengthen the policies around both operators and authorizers. But I think that part of what is flawed about this argument is that we're using charters as a scapegoat du jour. And we've been using it for the last 10, 15 years here in Philadelphia. I really believe, as an advocate for both charters and an advocate for public school, traditional public schools and the public school system, we shouldn't be talking about the model. We should all be model agnostic, and we should look at schools in the way of what works for kids, what is serving them best, how parents are choosing which schools are going to be there. And it should simply about be about that decision, not about their governance model. And to put the blame in that boat takes away from us saying that we're actually here to serve the kids in Philadelphia.
Bill Green, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I do agree that we need, you know, we continuously advocate in Harrisburg and have since I've been on the SRC to change charter law to make it more favorable. You know, that is the exact opposite has happened. So I get nervous about opening up the charter law in Harrisburg because, for example, the SRC did not accept charter applications for many years. The state passed a law requiring us to take applications every single year. And obviously the law also says we cannot include financial considerations for the district in our review of those applications. Well, that makes no sense if we're supposed to be in charge of financial distress. That's just one thing. With respect to the SRC itself, I mean, Donna Cooper from PCCY and others have made clear that whether you have the SRC or a mayor-appointed board or a board appointed, whatever, none of the problems Helen describes about, you know, a fair funding formula from Harrisburg or the resources available to Philadelphia school children will be solved. And so because we don't have control over resources, we have to take the revenue that we're given and make very hard decisions. And it is the powers of the SRC that have allowed us to make some very difficult decisions. I agree completely our resources aren't enough. I agree completely we need a fair funding formula. And you know, hopefully, as long as there's an SRC, I look forward to working with Helen and Amy and others to try to achieve those ends.
Let me just give out the phone number. I see people want to join the conversation, and that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me read something that Jerry Jordan said, head of the PFT. I'll put this to you, Helen Gim, and this is about the ruling, the Supreme Court ruling, which he called a double-edged sword. He said, though it seems to place much-needed checks and balances on the SRC run amok, it also has the potential to put our school district finances in extremely precarious position. The idea that if there are more charters, that does eat away at the finances of the district. Does that concern you as well?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question about it. But the answer that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said is has to go back to either the state legislature or it will end up in front of them directly in terms of the fair funding lawsuit. But it cannot go to a wholly unelected, unaccountable body that is using extraordinary and frankly unconstitutional powers to exercise its rights whenever it sees fit. And I think that the issue is like, for example, one of the sections in which they gave rationale is like, they said that the School Reform Commission desires to deal effectively and quickly with these issues and therefore desires to remove the limitation on its powers. And that was the only reason it gave and then did this like 62 different times over the last 5 years and disenfranchised whole sections of the community. So if there's no real difference, then we should end the SRC. We should go back to a regular appointed board and we should hold it accountable. And we do need to push hard on that fair funding lawsuit in front of the Supreme Court and then go back to the legislature, demand a fair charter law that holds and restricts these lobbyists in check, because at the end of the day, they are bankrupting us. And it's not about whether we should be model agnostic. That makes no sense to me. I mean, we are dealing with a system that is on the brink of bankruptcy, where we have starved out regular public schools so that they don't even look like schools anymore. We're in violation every day of the Pennsylvania State Code governing children's rights. And this is not a neutral issue. This is not a place to be agnostic. We need to bring these charter schools in check. We need real accountability. And we need to get rid of the SRC. And we need to have real local control and move forward.
Go ahead, Bill Green.
I think we should have local control once Harrisburg does its job and provides a fair funding formula that is going to have predictability for revenue. Until that time, a local school board without the powers that we have would have our children in even a worse situation than they are today. There is no more money that comes with a mayor or a council-appointed school board. And so, unfortunately, the powers that we have as the SRC are necessary in order to make the schools function on a day-to-day basis.
Let me go to you, Amy Kagan, Amy Ruck Kagan, and looking ahead, and as I said earlier, Philadelphia considered this place where there could be this experiment, for lack of a better word, to try to figure out what's a good model that works. What, though, should be done about charters that are underperforming? Does the SRC have the right authority to, frankly, get rid of them, to close them down?
So I firmly believe that low-performing charters and failing charters, as well as failing district schools, which is the conversation that we don't have here in Philadelphia, we have chronically failing schools. We're not talking about schools that are educating any students in them. You know, three students being reading on grade level at certain schools. That's absolutely wholly unacceptable for our city. But putting it back in the realm of charters, that is one of the areas where I think I probably we would all agree that we'd like to see laws that allow us to close schools in a more streamlined process. We don't want it to be taking 2 years and go spend thousands of dollars of taxpayer money and take 2 years for other information to be found and the decision to be overturned. So certainly, I'm the first person to say that a failing charter school should be closed, and we should be doing everything we can to transform those other underperforming schools here in the city.
And failing public schools should be closed.
As
I mean,
well,
that's the fundamental issue. And you know, because charters apply, we have to respond to those applications. And so we are stuck with having to choose among our very worst schools to try to do a significant intervention in two or three of them a year. And then as we try to help our public schools, you know, we get pushed back against that. So we're trying to put resources into public schools. We try to get resources which require rule changes and longer school days and longer school years, stuff that we have to negotiate with the PFT.
And to bring,
I fundamentally disagree with that.
You know what? Hold on. Only because the clock is telling me we're almost up in a break here. And I do want to just quickly reintroduce everybody. With us, Bill Green, William J. Green, Commissioner, former chair of the School Reform Commission, Amy Ruck-Kagan, Executive Director of Philadelphia Charters for Excellence, and Helen Gimm, City Councilwoman at Large. She chairs the Committee on Children and Youth. We are talking about the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling last week, a decision that appears to weaken the authority of the School Reform Commission, although Bill Green not exactly in agreement with that description. We do want to take a very short break, and again, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, having a very interesting off-air conversation with our three guests again, Helen Gimm, Amy Ruck-Kagan, and Bill Green. And well, let me just do it on the air, because what I said to you, Bill Green, is whether you disagree with basically all the reporting of what the about what the Supreme Court said in Pennsylvania, which was to pretty severely limit what the SRC could do. You're saying it really applies to only a tiny little piece.
That's right. 696 creates 14 exceptions to Pennsylvania law for the SRC, our so-called extraordinary powers. The Supreme Court's ruling applies only to 696I3, not the other 12. And so all of the other powers are still in, you know, still in place and available to us.
And Helen, you had a response to that.
I think my point was that the SRC has used this power very liberally. It has used it 62 different times to upend whole sections. It's, you know, used it to reallocate school funds away from school sales, you know, fast track increase the number of non-union jobs, you know, fast-track school closings. It's a whole bunch of issues. And as I cited before, that, you know, it's pretty lazy at the end of the day. Now, whether the fault of that lies with the SRC or the legislature, now I think the bigger issue is that the Supreme Court said that that is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And so for me, a lot of the SRC does not need to come into existence. It is no longer an extraordinary body. It is a regular body. And the fault does, I want to be clear, the fault lies with the Harrisburg legislature that created this problem, created it to avoid dealing with a problem, said, here, you take care of this because you'll have these extraordinary powers so we don't have to deal with it. And now it needs to go back into their lap. And to solve this, this emergency ends when Pennsylvania does come into the modern age of school funding and reforms its laws.
Well,
around charters.
I mean, but the question, I mean, look at what's been happening in Harrisburg. Do you have any confidence that there's enough?
That's why we have a lawsuit. That's why we have a lawsuit before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Go ahead. And then I know you probably want to weigh in as well. Go ahead.
Right. Well, with respect to Harrisburg, I'll never understand why the governor decided to veto or blue pencil the very things that he cares most about, education funding, social services, et cetera. So we have an education budget that is now $3 billion less than it was last year because of a Democratic governor as opposed to a General Assembly, which actually provided the district with $30 million more than they would have received last year. To create pressure, it's sort of like holding a gun to your head and saying, don't make me use this. I don't understand it as a negotiating strategy, and I'm nervous about what it means for our funding for this year and next year. And what that means is we have no predictability of our revenue this year. We don't know what we're going to get. We have no predictability of our revenue next year. So investments, Dr. Height's action plan, all of the things that were on the table for us to invest in this year, we didn't spend that money because we didn't have a Harrisburg budget. We didn't know we have it to spend it. All those things that were part of the plan next year, we can't spend that money. We can't even plan to spend that money because we don't know what we're going to get. It creates uncertainty, unpredictability that would exist whether there's an SRC, a local controlled school board. But at least we have most of our extraordinary powers left to deal with it.
Although notably, the SRC did approve 6 new charters in the last 2 weeks at a cost of unaccountable proportions, yet not having any money.
Do you have sympathy at all, Amy, for the school district with this funding formula as it applies to charters?
Well, I think those are two separate questions to some extent. I have sympathy regarding our state of funding and our lack of budget and the lack of confidence that we will know the resources that we have to work with this year or next year. I think that's certainly a problem that we all need to figure out how to solve. But I don't believe that charters are the cause of the funding inequities here in Philadelphia. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to say earlier related to the the times that we're referring to that the SRC used this power, some of the things just mentioned were closing schools, renegotiating on contracts. All of these things seem to me like they're the right things for a kid. So we're talking about whether or not the SRC abused their power in this conversation. What we should be talking about, whether or not these are the right things for our children here in Philadelphia, and have to figure out a way how to best do that. And I think that's really the conversation that we need to continue to have. We have an outdated pension system. We have dozens of empty school buildings here in Philadelphia that we're not using, we're not transferring, we're not selling. We have healthcare costs that look very different here in Philadelphia than any other school district. Those are the issues that are causing us to have the funding issues here. Mm. It's not the size of the charters.
And I can't imagine. I mean, just yesterday or the day before, we had a common pleas court judge rule that we not approve of the sale of a bunch of schools that for which we had a contract to bring money into the district because city council people went to court and asked the judge to make that ruling. I can't imagine the kind of chaos that would ensue with like council appointed members of the school board and all these things. It would be so much more political than it is today. Absolutely. Today it's about children trying to do the best we can with the resources we're provided. To bring local politics into it, I think would make matters worse, and at least until we have a fair funding formula.
Helen Kim, let me go to you, and then I do want to get some callers in. But are you saying it's time for a moratorium on new charters?
It is absolutely a time for a moratorium on charters. I think that's long overdue. But, I also fundamentally disagree with a number of different comments, but among them being that there's equity between closing poor-performing charter schools and closing down poor performing district schools. Charter schools are a contract. They are a contract with a provider. They range between $4 to $6 million a year. They're significant. Ms. Kagan should just clarify for herself the school district's budget, which is very clear. This is not a controversial issue about how much charter schools cost the district.
About $7,500 per seat, something like
well,
that?
Well, those are the costs of new charters. But every year, $700 million, the pace and rapidity of the increase with charter growth is outstripping that of pensions and salaries in the school district. It's a significant issue. It's surprising to hear two people say that charters are not a problem. They are significantly an issue, and everybody understands that. Financial analysts understand it. The superintendent acknowledges it, and we need to figure some of this stuff out. So that is an aspect of it. But we need to go back to the school district's central mission, which is to invest in the district schools that it does manage. And for us to have teacher vacancies, schools that are not being filled, we're not meeting the state code. This is fundamentally the School Reform Commission's job, and it's gotten distracted with the pursuit of its powers rather than focusing on what is actually happening in schools, supporting them, building up in-district models of reform, and trying to figure out how to move forward
discussing our powers because a Supreme Court ruling came down yesterday. We don't focus on our powers. We don't sit around and talk about our powers. We sit around and make decisions in the best interest of children based on the authority that was granted to us by the General Assembly. The Supreme Court made no ruling about the district. It said the General Assembly exceeded its authority in granting us the authority under I-3. With respect to a moratorium, whether we had local control or an SRC, it violates state law to not approve charters if they meet the standards for approval. And we cannot consider finances with respect to the granting of new charters. And if a locally controlled board did that, it would be overturned in court. And the consequence would be unbridled charter growth, at least when we approve responsible operators, we get them to agree to enrollment caps, which under the law, it says if you agree to an enrollment cap, that is enforceable as a contract by the district. The Supreme Court has ruled on that. And we only have 6 charters without enrollment caps. So we've done an extremely good job over the last 3 years of getting every charter provider to agree to a reasonable enrollment cap that does save the district a lot of potential. As a consequence of that work over the last 3 years, the impact of this decision is far less than it might be.
I think that most of the public agrees that the SRC is not the last best protection that we've got. I think most people feel that it's time for the SRC to end, and there's a lot of issues with that.
Let me get Ron from Northeast Philadelphia to join us. Ron, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, I agree with Helen's comment very strongly. I think that the SRC has been imposed from above, and their whole agenda, this agenda of austerity and privatization, has been imposed on our schools. It hasn't been vetted by the public, and I think it's clear that the SRC lacks legitimacy. It was clear in the referendum that was taken last year. It's clear if you go to a school reform commission meeting, and I would just call on Bill Green and his fellow commissioners in the interest of creating a school board that has the possibility of generating real popular support to resign. And I think that would open the way to local control and ultimately democratic governance for our schools.
Well, Ron, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me give Bill Green a chance to respond to that. Make sense?
I think that, you know, the most disappointing thing about the SRC's 15-year history is that it should have done all the things that we've done over the last 2 years, 15 years ago, when there was the political will in Harrisburg and other places to do the hard things, and SRC came into existence that didn't do the hard things. It made some horrible choices, as Helen points out. You know, whether you want to talk about Dr. Ackerman and that rule, all the stimulus and other money being spent on operational things instead of things that would last, like school buildings, teacher training, et cetera. So, you know, before I got there, I'm disappointed in many of the actions of the SRC. But I believe right now we have, you know, with Feather Houston, Farrah Jimenez, Sylvia Sims, and Marge Neff, we have an extremely effective group of capable people, and I refer to them, not myself. I think that, you know, we are just acting in the best interest of children, and I will continue to do that as long as there's an SRC.
Looks like you want to say something, Helen Kim, and I want to put something to you, Amy Kagan.
Again, it is pretty stunning. The last several years of the SRC's existence, including Mr. Green's appointment and sitting on there, have resulted in some of the worst situations that we've ever seen and documented in the school district in terms of a fundamental lack of resources in our schools. I'll say it again. I think it's their responsibility. I think it's their responsibility to
the
pay attention to
–
please don't interrupt. I think that there is a fundamental issue that we're dealing with, which is we're in violation of the state code around curriculum mandates. We've got tons of teacher vacancies, and we are being distracted constantly with charter growth and expansion and this idea of school closings. The only certainties the SRC has given us is that more charters will open and our schools will be starved of resources. That has to change.
Once again, the council person always comes back to resources, and you can look at a long conversation we had in Philly Mag on the topic. I look forward to the council person proposing a bill in city council. It's budget season. The mayor's going to give his budget address soon. It apparently will not have a whole lot more money, if any, for the school district. And I hope that councilperson Gym and her colleagues will lead the fight to get us the resources we need to do all of the things that she's asking us to do. Because I agree we need to do those things, but somebody's got to pay for it. And everybody seems to be – city council and the mayor, previous mayor, stepped up with funding when we needed it desperately, but not enough to allow us to do the things that are in the action plan. And hopefully a councilperson, Gym, will step up with the resources by introducing a bill and fighting hard for it.
Well, let me go to you, Amy Kagan. Sure. You're sort of in the middle between the two people here. But this was a case that was brought by West Philadelphia Achievement Charter Elementary School, and they opposed the cap that was put on the school by the SRC. Should caps be lifted? I mean, this is what they argued before the Supreme Court.
I think that caps should be lifted in certain situations, and caps, as they have been sort of executed over the last few years, as we've seen an increase in better authorizing. The charter office for the district just got a new executive director this year, and we've seen a great improvement in terms of process, in terms of operations, in terms of professionalizing the staff and the work. So we look forward to continuing that relationship. So certainly I would advocate for seeing an opportunity to raise these caps when it calls for it, when a school is meeting the standards, when they're operating in the best meeting the appropriate metrics that have been put out to them by law and by their contract. Absolutely, I think there needs to be a more streamlined process for them to be able to have the opportunity to serve more students.
We have a tweet from Brett. He says, how many neighborhood public schools have been closed in the past 5 years? How many charters have been closed? Does anyone know the Bill Green?
In 2013, I think they closed around 25 neighborhood public schools. Since I've been on the SRC, I don't know the record before that. I think we've voted to close five or six, and we've achieved maybe three or four of those mm-hmm. closures. But you know, there's a pipeline of renewals every single year, and if schools aren't performing, I can predict that the SRC is not going to vote to renew them.
Mm. We have a tweet from Representative Jordan Harris, 186th District. He says, abolishing the SRC is a good talking point, but without fair funding and restored revenue, we are in the same spot. Can you take that, Helen Gim?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we're in the same spot. I think we're in a different place. I think that we've got local control that we need to start exploring. And my issue is not just with this SRC, but the idea of state takeovers and emergency managers in general that have been kind of sweeping the country as a way to distract or avoid dealing with fundamental issues around funding. And I think the representative is exactly right. Our task and our mission and our challenge is to deal with the fair funding formula. But having an SRC is not conditional or necessary as a part of that. And I think that the public has grown tired and wary of excuses and continued fear-mongering about what we will or won't get if they are in existence. And at the end of the day, I think we want local control. We need a democratic governance process. And we need to take a look at holding people accountable for this.
I'd say the SRC is not fear-mongering. It's responding to fear-mongering from the council person and others. But specifically, a fair funding formula has to come out of Harrisburg. Harrisburg has to know that if they give us money, it's going to go to classrooms, not to contracts, not to adults, but to children. And as long as there's an SRC, we have a far better shot at getting a fair funding formula. And that's why, I've said it many times publicly, including when I first got on, as soon as we have the resources we need to effectively run our schools, and Dr. Height tells us we have those resources, and a contract that allows him to do what he needs to in schools, I believe that is the time that the SRC should go away, and I'll vote for it.
And I'm going to give you the last word, Amy.
Oh, well, that's great. I would absolutely agree with this. And I think even in Superintendent Height's plan, which relies on these resources, charters remain an essential part of that plan. So I think the last word here is that charters remain an essential part of our district and a way to serve kids effectively.
And they are public schools.
We could go on just based on those two very important comments there. My thanks to all three of you for joining us today on Radio Times. Helen Gim, City Councilwoman at Large here in Philadelphia. Bill Green, Commissioner of the School at the School Reform Commission, and Amy Ruck Kagan, Executive Director of Philadelphia Charters for Excellence. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about the program. My apologies to the many people that wanted to join the conversation. Stay with us. We'll be right back.